Getting Started with Deuteronomy by Dr. Ted Hildebrandt. Introduction to Deuteronomy. The title of the book of Deuteronomy is taken from a mistranslation of Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, by the Greek Septuagint, Ta Deuteronomion, meaning, quote, second law, end quote. This came through the Latin Vulgate, Deuteronomium, into our English title, with the perspective that it is a, quote, second law, end quote, 40 years after the first one given at Mount Sinai. The reference in 17:18, however, refers to the king making, quote, a copy, end quote, of this law. The Hebrew title is, quote, These Are the Words, end quote, and is taken from the first words of the book. It refers to the words spoken by Moses on the plains of Moab just prior to Israel's entrance into the Promised Land. The book of Numbers ends with Israel situated on the plains of Moab across the Jordan River from Jericho, Numbers chapter 33, verse 48 and following. Deuteronomy picks up from there and concludes with the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, on Mount Nebo by these same plains of Moab, just prior to Joshua leading them into the land of promise. Deuteronomy can be understood from three perspectives. First, Deuteronomy can be viewed as a last will and testament of Moses, who is not allowed to enter the promised land. Chapter 3, verses 23 through 28. It is a set of hortatory speeches reflecting on Israel's past rebellion and exhorting their faithfulness in the future as they enter and settle in the land. There are four main speeches by Moses. The first short speech, after a preamble identifying the time, participants, and location of the speech, rehearses a retrospective review of Israel's rebellions during the 40-year wilderness wandering, and God's loyal love and provisions for them in fulfillment of his promise to the forefathers. Chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 43. The lengthy second speech, chapter 4, verse 44 through chapter 26, verse 19, states the general laws and requirements, including a restatement of the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, and an encouragement to respond with gratitude, fear, loyalty, and love to God. Chapter 4, verses 44 through chapter 11, verse 32. This speech goes on to give more specific directives regarding laws for prophets, judges, kings, war, captives, family relations, centralized worship, feasts, tithes, and Levitical duties, as well as the seventh year cancellation of debts. Chapter 12, verse 1 through chapter 26, verse 19. The third speech is short, chapter 27, verse 1 through 28, verse 68, and provides for document preservation. Chapter 27, verses 2 through 8, compare chapter 31, verse 26, and the recitation of the curses and blessings from Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim overlooking Shechem, where Israel would renew their covenant allegiance to the Lord. The fourth speech is a covenant renewal ceremony, chapters 29 through 30. The book concludes with the song and tribal blessings of Moses and the commissioning of Joshua as the new leader, chapters 31 through 34. The death of Moses, chapter 34, was probably recorded by Joshua, who eulogizes, quote, Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, end quote. Chapter 34, verse 10. Such last will and testament speeches are also seen with Joshua, Joshua chapter 23 through 24, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 12, and David, 1 Kings chapter 2, as the responsibilities get passed on from one leader to the next. A second perspective from which Deuteronomy can be viewed is as a suzerainty treaty between a suzerain, or king, and a vassal slash servant. The treaty form is well known in the ancient Near East, both with the Hittites, approximately 1400 to 1200 BC, at the time of Moses, and the Assyrians, about 700 BC, around the time of Hezekiah and Josiah. The book portrays itself as a covenant renewal ceremony. The earlier Hittite treaty form fits better with the structure of Deuteronomy, as the later Assyrian treaties frequently lack the historical prologue and blessings section. Deuteronomy, Preamble, Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Names, Participants, and Treaty Setting. Historical Prologue, Chapter 1, verse 6 through Chapter 4, verse 49, rehearses suzerain's past kindnesses. General Stipulations, Chapter 5, verse 1 through Chapter 11, verse 32, gives general laws and motivations for loyalty. Specific Stipulations, Chapter 12, verse 1 through Chapter 26, verse 19, details laws on kings, prophets, judges, the poor, rituals, feasts, family relations. Document Clause, Chapter 27, verses 1 through 26, preserves the document. Blessings and Curses, Chapter 28, verse 1 through 68, states obedience brings blessings, disobedience results in curses. Witnesses, Chapter 30, verse 19, Chapter 31, verse 19, calls on heavens and earth, witness song. A third perspective from which Deuteronomy can be looked at is as a legal code similar to the Code of Hammurabi. Both present laws concerning the rights of the firstborn, slandered wives, adultery, rape, and others. Thompson makes comparisons between the Book of the Covenant Law Code, Exodus chapter 21 through 23, and Deuteronomy. One can also parallel the two Ten Commandments texts found both in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Note, for example, that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, the days of creation are cited as the reason behind the Sabbath commandment, while Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15 proffers the deliverance from Egypt as the basis. Content of the Book of Deuteronomy. The Book of Deuteronomy opens in the same place that Numbers left off, the plains of Moab, east of the Jordan River, in the 40th year after they came out of Egypt. Moses begins with his remembrance of God's command to leave Horeb, Mount Sinai, and the appointing of the leaders who were to help him judge Israel. He oscillates back and forth between historical narration and exhortation slash advice. He rehearses how the 12 spies were sent out and how Israel rebelled, resulting in only Joshua and Caleb from the former generation of the Exodus entering the Promised Land. He narrates how Israel went around peacefully rather than fighting with their ancestral brothers Edom, Esau, Moab from Lot, and Ammon from Lot. They did, however, defeat Sihon and Og, Amorites, in Transjordan, and their land was parsed out to Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. The exhortation section in chapter 4 calls on Israel to remember and not forget what God had done for them, with a stern warning against idolatry. Their sovereign Lord was a jealous God, and one who had loved and chosen their forefathers. Chapters 1 through 4 fit well with the Hittite covenant pattern of the historical prologue by reviewing the history of God's benevolence and encouraging Israel's loyalty. Chapter 5 begins the general stipulations, chapters 5 through 11. The Ten Commandments, or Decalogue, opens this section in apodictic fashion, based on the fact that God brought them out of Egypt. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, quote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," end quote, is recited daily by Jews and makes a clear declaration of monotheism, followed by the response that he is to be loved with all one's heart, soul, and strength. Chapter 6 elucidates what it means to love God in terms of fearing God and obeying his laws. Directives for war and taking the promised land are given in chapter 7. God is portrayed as a compassionate father in Deuteronomy chapters 8 through 10, caring for his people with manna and giving them a land flowing with milk and honey. They are to remember what the Lord did for them. Moses re-narrates the golden calf rebellion at Sinai and admonishes Israel to fear the Lord and walk in his ways by serving, obeying, and loving him. Chapter 11 finishes this section with blessings and curses and an exhortation to teach these things to their children and write them on the door frames of their houses. This, quote, "general stipulations," end quote, section stresses the broad requirements and underlying motives for obedience, fear, love, and loyalty. The next section is the detailed stipulations, chapters 12 through 26. This has apodictic-type laws, quote, "thou shalt not," end quote, chapter 14, verse 22, chapter 15, verse 1, chapter 16, verse 19, and chapter 17, verse 1, etc., as well as casuistic or case laws. Quote, "if a person, dot, 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 then, dot, dot, dot," end quote. Chapter 22, verses 6 through 8, chapter 23, verses 21 through 23, and chapter 24, verses 10 through 12, etc. Here, Moses lays the foundation of the great institutions in Israel. Prophets, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, chapter 18, verses 9 through 22, Judges, chapter 16, verse 18 and following, kingship, chapter 17, verses 14 through 20, Levitical priests, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, cities of refuge, chapter 19, as well as ritual functions such as feasts, chapter 16, clean slash unclean, chapter 14, tithes slash offerings, chapter 26, and the centralized sanctuary where God's name would dwell, chapter 12. There is another chapter on war, chapter 20, compare chapter 7. And the strong warnings against idolatry are again reiterated, chapter 13, verse 2, chapter 16, verses 21 and following, chapter 20, verse 18. The seventh year, with its cancellation of debts and freeing of slaves, chapter 15, and family guidelines for divorce, marrying a captive woman, rights of the firstborn, chapter 24, punishment of a rebellious son, chapter 21, and other marriage violations, chapter 22, are all detailed here. Great compassion is expressed for the poor, aliens, orphans, and widows, chapter 15, verses 7 and following, chapter 24, verses 14 and following, chapter 16, verse 11, and verse 14. There was also to be consideration for animals, chapter 25, verse 4, chapter 22, verse 6, trees, chapter 20, verses 19 and following, and the land itself, chapter 21, verse 23, and chapter 24, verse 4. The book finishes with instructions for the preservation of this law by writing it on plastered stones on Mount Ebal, chapter 27, verse 4. The tribes reciting the curses were to stand on Mount Ebal, and the tribes announcing the blessings on the opposite Mount Gerizim, chapters 27 through 28. Moses holds a covenant renewal ceremony, and Joshua is installed as the new leader, chapters 29 through through 30. The reading of this book at the Feast of Tabernacles is directed, chapter 31. The famous Song of Moses, chapter 32, praises God for his care for Israel as their rock, father, and creator. After the Song of Moses gathers the assembly, proclaiming, quote, "They are not just idle words for you. They are your life," end quote. Chapter 32, verse 47. Moses blesses the tribes in a manner reminiscent of Jacob's tribal blessing in Genesis chapter 49. The final chapter records Moses' death on Mount Nebo and Joshua taking the reins of leadership, chapter 34. Critical approaches to Deuteronomy. Traditionally, critical theories have looked at Deuteronomy in two ways. First, from the old source critical approach, which is based on the centralization of worship reforms of Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 18, around 700 BC, and especially Josiah's finding of the, quote, "book of the law," end quote, 2 Kings chapter 22 through 23, around 621 BC. It should be noted that Deuteronomy chapter 12, the key passage for centralization of worship, never mentions a particular place where God's name would dwell. Indeed, Mount Ebal is the place that is specified as to where the altar and the public documentation of Deuteronomy should be established, chapter 27, verses 4 and 5. Leaving the place of the sanctuary unnamed facilitates shifts that would later take place from Shechem, Gibeon, Joshua chapter 9, verse 27, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4, Shiloh, and ultimately to Jerusalem, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 12. The prohibitions against sacred pillars, chapter 16, verse 22, and the worship of sun, moon, and stars, chapter 17, verse 3, and the celebration of Passover, chapter 16, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 22, also give critics ground for a Josianic time frame. The, quote, "book of the law," end quote, Torah, found by Josiah, 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, is the same term used in Deuteronomy to refer to itself. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 21, chapter 30, verses 10 and 26, compare Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Critics suggest that Josiah was trying to continue Hezekiah's reforms, and that rather than finding the book of the law of Moses, he and his supporters wrote or compiled it to support their reforms. This is contrary to the claims in Deuteronomy that Moses wrote it, chapter 31, verses 9, verse 24, chapter 33, verse 4. Thus, Deuteronomy is identified as the D document of the JEDP source theory for the formation of the Pentateuch. They confidently assert that Deuteronomy is certainly not Mosaic, although some of the traditions may go back to him. The other way Deuteronomy is viewed is to harvest the insights of Martin Noth, who saw the influence of what he called, quote, "Deuteronomistic history," end quote, as shaping a large swath of the Old Testament historical books from Joshua through 2 Kings. They see Joshua through 2 Kings as redacted together by a single or multiple editors, or even in a Deuteronomistic school that applied the law in new ways to each successive generation, resulting in a unified perspective of history from Deuteronomy through 2 Kings in what has been labeled, quote, "Deuteronomic history," DH or DTR, end quote. This can be seen in the theology of the name, chapter 12, verses 5 and 11, and the shift from God's dwelling in the tabernacle or temple to his dwelling in heaven, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 15, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 2, chapter 5, verse 17, chapter 8, verse 17, and 27. Joshua, for example, picks up common Deuteronomic phrases, such as, quote, be strong and courageous, end quote. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, among others, Weinfeld, Anchor Bible Dictionary. While it is fascinating to trace the themes intertextually from Deuteronomy through 2 Kings, there are other explanations other than editors that may explain the foundational role of Deuteronomy in the shaping of Israel's religion. Theology. God in Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is a very theological book. Yahweh is portrayed as the suzerain, the great king, who makes and keeps his covenant with Israel, his vassal. Chapter 4, verse 23, chapter 31, verse 9, chapter 29, verses 1 and 12. He who is one, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4, has maintained his loyal love, Chesed, chapter 5, verse 10, chapter 7, verses 9 and 12, to Israel, as demonstrated in his mighty acts on their behalf as they journeyed through the wilderness, chapter 3, verse 24, chapter 4, verse 33, chapter 8, verse 19, and by giving them his law, chapter 10, verse 2, and the land. He was a faithful God who had chosen them and placed his love upon them, keeping the oath that he had sworn to their forefathers, chapter 7, verses 7 and following. They, in turn, were to respond by fearing the Lord, walking in his ways and serving him with all their hearts and souls, chapter 10, verses 12 and following. It is he who defends the cause of the orphans, widows, and orphans, chapter 10, verse 18. God is a jealous God, demanding exclusive love and objecting to any pursuit of false gods or idols. Chapter 4, verse 16. God is merciful, chapter 4, verse 31, and loving, chapter 4, verse 37. Yet his fierce anger is frequently displayed when the covenant relationship is violated. Chapter 9, verses 18 and following, chapter 31, verse 29. God dwells in heaven, chapter 26, verse 15, yet he is also the God of history, so his mighty acts of delivering them from Egypt are not to be forgotten, chapter 4, verse 34, chapter 6, verses 21 through 23, and chapter 7, verses 18 and following. His acts of redemption are to be remembered, rehearsed, and taught to their children. Chapter 4, verse 9, chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, chapter 11, verse 19, chapter 31, verses 12 and following, chapter 32, verses 46 and following. To forget is a problem. It is in history that Israel meets Yahweh. Compare Thompson. While the transcendence of the divine is well noted, there is a closeness as the divine word is, quote, very near you, it is in your mouth, end quote. Chapter 30, verses 12 through 14. The people of God. The people of God were a chosen community, not, quote, because they were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out, end quote. Chapter 7, verse 7 and following. They were chosen, not because of their righteousness, chapter 9, verses 4 and following, but were brought into the promised land because of the wickedness of the nations God was driving out before them. The whole community was elect, chapter 14, verses 1 and 21. And McConville notes that the term, quote, brother, end quote, occurs in, quote, unexpected places, end quote, in reference to slaves and debtors, chapter 15, verses 3, 7, and 12. There was to be special care extended to the orphans, widows, and aliens, chapter 14, verse 29, chapter 24, verse 17, chapter 26, verses 12 and following. warnings against the betrayal of covenant loyalty by idolatry and worship of other gods were abundant. Chapter 4, verse 28, chapter 6, verse 14, chapter 12, verses 30 and following, chapter 32, verses 16 and following. Instead, Israel was to love, fear, serve, obey, and walk in the ways of the Lord their God. Chapter 10, verse 12 through chapter 11, verse 1. In Deuteronomy, the foundations of the basic institutions of the Israelite community are prescribed: kings, prophets, judges, priests. The people are united as they recite his mighty acts when they offer up the first fruits of the land. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 through 10. Wisdom and Deuteronomy. Weinfeld has developed the connection between Deuteronomy and wisdom literature. Proverbs, Deuteronomy, and the Egyptian wisdom of Amenopi all refer to things as an, quote, abomination to the Lord, end quote. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 16, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, chapter 20, verse 10 and 23, discuss the evil of changing weights and measures. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 16, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10, and regulate slave and master relations. Deuteronomy chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10. He also notes the stresses on wisdom and understanding. Chapter 4, verse 6. It is interesting that in Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 27, Moses appoints judges who are, quote, capable men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate gain, end quote. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, they are men of, quote, understanding and full of knowledge, end quote. Weinfeld, Anchor Bible Dictionary. Land. Finally, the land concept is featured in Deuteronomy. The land is seen as a good land, flowing with milk and honey. Chapter 11, verses 9 through 11, chapter 26, verse 9. Its crops of wheat, barley, figs, grapes, olive oil, and pomegranates are the produce of this good land, chapter 8, verses 7 through 10, resulting not from river irrigation, but from rain provided or withheld depending on their obedience from the divine suzerain who personally watered the land, chapter 11, verses 10 through 17. The land is given as a gift from God to them based on the promise to their forefathers, chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 31, verse 20. Hence, it is the promised land. They had not earned it or built its flourishing cities, chapter 6, verses 10 and following, chapter 9, verse 6. They should not forget the Lord or go after other gods, thereby defiling the land and resulting in their being driven in exile from it, chapter 28, verse 64 and following. Questions to think about. Number 1. Compare and contrast the Book of the Covenant, Exodus chapter 21 through 23, and Deuteronomy. Number 2. Compare and contrast the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Number 3. How is the notion of war presented and God seen as a warrior? Number 4. How are the themes of divine love, election, and anger developed? Number 5. How is the theme of God's revelation of himself and history developed? Number 6. How are the institutions of the kingship, judges, and prophecy developed? Number 7. What are the roles of the Levitical priests in Deuteronomy? Number 8. How is God portrayed in Deuteronomy? What metaphors are used? What does he do? Number 9. How are human choices, consequences, and destinies featured in Deuteronomy? And number 10, what key phrases are shared by Deuteronomy and Joshua? This is Getting Started with Deuteronomy by Dr. Ted Hildebrandt.